Tomorrow is the 100th anniversary of one of my favorite things, the crossword puzzle. On December 21st, 1913, the first crossword puzzle appeared in the Saturday issue of the New York World newspaper. A 42-year-old editor named Arthur Wynne came up with this idea while trying to think of something special to do for the Christmas issue. Special it was, and special it does remain. Merle Regal is a professional puzzle author. You may play his puzzles in the Sunday Seattle Times, and you may remember him from the acclaimed crossword puzzle documentary Wordplay. Merle Regal joins us from New York City. Hi, Merle.
Hi, Marcy.
Who was this guy, Arthur Wynne, the first puzzle maker?
Well, he was born in Liverpool, England, and he liked word games as a kid. He was one of these kind of smart little kids. He played violin, and because he wanted to be a newspaper man, his dad forbade him from doing that. His dad was a newspaper man, and Arthur Wynne wanted to grow up to be one, and because his dad wouldn't let him, he took his violin and a suitcase and $30 and took an ocean liner to America. Now, in America, he bounced around kind of doing odd jobs for a while, but he finally got a newspaper job in Pittsburgh, but after that, he got the job on the New York World. And he was hired because he was a puzzle guy. He wrote puzzles. He was a fan of all different kinds of puzzles, and he wrote like little features and things like that. He was like a very the nicer part of the news. And he edited a section every week called the Fun Page of the New York World.
I need the Fun Page.
That's the kind of guy he was.
Well, so you say he was a puzzle guy, but there was no such thing as a crossword puzzle, right?
Not a crossword puzzle per se, but there were word squares. These were like little 4x4 squares with no black squares in them, where very often it would be like the same word across and down.
So,
I mean, this is purely for word nut fans, but there were all kinds of word games, the turn of the century and before 1900. There were puns and anagrams and rebuses and all kinds of things like that. The word square was kind of an established thing, but no one had ever done like a version of word squares on steroids. A bigger one. His was shaped like a diamond.
Oh, wow.
Hollowed out center, had 32 words in it. He numbered the squares. That was all different.
Well, how did readers receive that crossword puzzle?
Loved it instantly. It was an immediate hit.
Wow.
The only people that did not like it were the staffers on the New York World.
Why not?
Well, for one, they thought it was stupid. They were not puzzle people, that for one thing. The typesetters had a heck of a time doing the grids by hand, and so they did everything they could to sort of sabotage it by dropping clues out, putting the numbers really tiny in the squares, but it just wouldn't go away. Arthur Wynne actually went to his bosses at the World and said, look, the mail we're getting on this is enormous. Why don't we copyright it or something? But his bosses, which included the two sons of Joseph Pulitzer, said, no, it's a passing fancy. It'll be gone in 2 years. Well, so Arthur Wynne never made a dime off the crossword,
but his
invention still is with us today.
I'm talking with Merle Regal, and you may play his puzzle Sundays in the Seattle Times. I know I do. So they were stupid, but somebody took up this idea of crossword puzzles, and other people started making them as well. When did Arthur Wynne start accepting submissions from puzzle creators?
Within just a couple of years. I mean, even he sort of got tired of doing diamond-shaped crossword puzzles all the time, and so he welcomed the chance to run other people's puzzles because they had a lot of unusual ideas themselves. The only problem is that they had lots of obscure words in them, and sometimes they were incorrect. And so after a while, the readers still loved it, but there was a lot of kind of like gunk in the puzzle. And when Arthur Wynne finally turned the job over to somebody else at the New York World, that person was a woman named Margaret Petherbridge, and she also couldn't stand crossword puzzles. But within a year, after being shamed into doing it, she finally sat down and tried to solve one, couldn't do it. And so she standardized, she made up a lot of rules for the puzzles and cleaned out all the obscure stuff, or most of it. And it's because of her that we have the rules that we have today.
Well, I'm kind of curious when the New York Times took up this puzzledom.
Okay, well, we're talking about Margaret Petherbridge. Now, she was in the right place at the right time because in 1924, two guys just out of Columbia University decided to start a publishing company, and they thought, well, there's never been a crossword puzzle book. So they decided to publish the first crossword book, and they asked Margaret to edit it. Now, this book became the first crossword book, and that book sold 400,000 copies in a matter of months. Those two guys were Simon and Schuster. It was a double first. It was the first ever crossword book, and it was their first books that they ever published. Within 2 years, they sold 2 million copies. Margaret married somebody named John Farrar. She became Margaret Farrar. And when the New York Times finally got around to having a crossword in 1942, she's the one they hired.
What are you doing to celebrate the birth anniversary of the crossword puzzle, Merle Regal?
I'm having a lot of alphabet soup. and strip boggle. We used to play strip Scrabble, but it was too slow. I'm in New York City, which is where it all happened. And tomorrow we're going out with a lot of puzzle friends. I don't know if there's anything that puzzle people do that's different from most celebratory people. I'm sure there's going to be some drinking. it's just the fact of getting together in the city where it all started is like a pretty much of a high.
Merle Regal is a professional puzzle writer, and if you do crossword puzzles, you surely tried your hand as one of his creations. They appear in the Sunday Seattle Times. Thanks, and happy crossword day to you, Merle Regal.
Same to you, Marcy.
I'll enjoy it. It's The Record on KUOW.